Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Just got out of EA, so there's another day of taping in the book, so all warmed up, ready to go.
So what are you taping for then, like the 2020 game? Or?
Yeah, all the updates coming for the 2019, and there's a completely new format coming for the next year's game, and so I have to do about 200 hours. By the end of April.
The best part is you get to say the same phrases over and over, just a little bit change, right?
That's part of the deal this year. Is it's going to be a lot different, so it's, oh my gosh, Noodles, is it detail? I'm like, holy smokes, another one. So we run our way through it. And then, of course, last night, I had a bunch of stuff I had to do, but I got hooked into that game. Man, was it good. The football game you guys are just talking about, so I ended up running on a little less sleep than I probably should have.
Incredible, wasn't it? And I'm sure you saw Rivers with the NFL Network postgame. We've been talking about that. It was
unreal.
Unbelievable. The passion, the detail. Like, I've never seen a player walk off the field and be like, all right, mic me up, and I'm just going to be a rock star on this panel for like 7 minutes.
You know what I said to Tammy this morning, I was listening, and I go, this is what I don't get about leadership. Like, no wonder the guys play their ass off for him. Like, the first thing he said on that clip, Brian, that you retweeted was, he goes, I turned the ball over. Like, and then he talked about Antonio Gates, and he did a little bit of an imitation of Antonio Gates. And I just thought, like, the whole thing was outstanding. But if you guys want to, Noodles, you mentioned if that receiver drops the ball,
yeah,
what a goal he'd be. YouTube, Jackie Smith, Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl. They lost 35-31, and I know because I was a Cowboys fan then. He got hit in the chest with a pass. He was wide open in the end zone.
He dropped it?
And that's the 4 points they lost by.
Oh, no. That is painful, man. Those details. It's like poker, right? You always remember the bad beat. You don't remember the wins. You remember the bad beats. And that would be one of them, because the Cowboys, I mean, they did win a bunch of Super Bowls too. But
I mean, I don't know a ton of names, especially from old school Cowboys like Tom Landry, but I know the name Leon Lett.
Yes.
Like, unfortunately.
Running the wrong way? Is that what you
mean? No, not even that one. Isn't he the guy who kicked it where they should have had the he should have just left the ball, and he slipped in the snow and kicked it in the end zone.
Leon Lett was an accident waiting to happen, because he jumped on a ball that had been blocked. That's the one you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, that's
he
the one.
He didn't touch it, but he fumbled it, and the other team covered it up, and they won the game. He was also in the Super Bowl. He was going to be one of the only defensive players to get a touchdown, and he was showboating at about the 5 against Buffalo, and the receiver, Don Beebe, came flying out of nowhere and knocked it out of his hands. It was a train wreck.
That one is one of the all-time great clips and one of the all-time great hero plays by Don Beebe. You're right, because this guy is showboating his way into the end zone.
If any of my players ever did that in the NFL, it's a $100,000 fine. Like, get it into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that receiver for Philadelphia? He did it a few years ago.
It was Deshaun...
Jackson?
Yes, Deshaun Jackson.
It was so embarrassing. It's like, just please, run it into the end zone.
Yeah.
Well, was he the guy? He spiked it at like 3, right?
He just did something really stupid.
What he did
I remember watching it, and the announcer was like,
he dropped it, is what, like, he was trying.
Oh, you're right.
He was trying
and
to play.
And there's been a couple of those over the years.
Yes. He's trying to play it so cool. Like, look, at right when I'm in, I can drop the ball. I don't even need this thing. Like, I'm better than holding the ball in the.
Yeah.
And he wasn't into the end zone.
What a dope.
One small problem.
Yeah. Like, that's awesome. Cool story. But you actually have to get into the end zone.
Wow. That's hilarious.
Yeah. As for the Leafs and the Lightning game last night, you know, based on the post game, you would think the Leafs won 4-1. They were happy with themselves, and I understand why. They played well. Vasilevsky was outstanding, but in terms of the big picture, when you break these two teams down, we've been kind of detailing it throughout the afternoon. How big of a difference do you see between the Leafs and the Lightning just based on their personnel?
Well, Tampa's got, I would say, a little bit more of a threat from the bottom of their lineup than Toronto might have. It's pretty hard not to like Victor Hedman. McDonough's a hell of a player. The goalies, I could say, are a wash. I don't know that there's a huge difference. I wouldn't say that. I don't know. I kind of felt like Toronto should have been in a better place last night. I didn't love that, they give up the goal to go down 3-1 and they put the fourth line on the ice and then the game's over. But that's not the time to kind of sleepwalk your fourth line out there, because John Cooper sees them and he gets Kucherov and Tyler Johnson on the ice.
Right.
And bam, bam, the game's over. I mean, yeah, they had lots of chances, but it's 4-1. You're not coming back from that very often.
Yeah, it wasn't Detroit. Like, I said that last night. Like, it's a little different. You're going 4-1 in the third period. You still feel you got a chance against Detroit because you can turn it up, and Detroit's not a team that really knows how to win consistently yet with a lot of young players. Like, you're down 4-1 against Tampa, and Tampa really didn't have a massive pushback, in a couple areas. They were able to lock it down.
There's something about Tampa, though, for me, guys, that it's hard not to be super impressed with them. But they don't look, maybe nobody will anymore, and they don't look like a totally dominant team. They don't look like, Toronto can't beat them. Right now, it looks like Toronto can't beat Boston, although they can. But it just looks like they can. And right now, you'd say, I think, Toronto can beat Tampa. I mean, they play the same game. It's the same style. I think in a lot of ways, it's a better matchup for them. But I don't see them as, just run away the best team in the league.
No, I agree with that. But I do think, based on the points, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. I don't think there's such a thing as a moral victory for a top four or five team in the league, which is what the Leafs are. Yet, the Leafs have had a great season. And with that loss last night, they're now 8 points back of Tampa. And I can't picture any team in the league, Leafs included, outperforming Tampa by 9-plus points over a 50-game run. Something could happen catastrophically, but I do think one thing that came out of last night is it's a pretty big cushion. Tampa's got to feel good about finishing with that top spot.
Well, and certainly, right, I guess, this division and, I guess the Metro would be the others. You want that spot. You don't want to be slugging it out for two rounds. You'll take a wild card team, whoever that might be, before dropping into that 2-3 series. That just seems like a really, really hard road to go.
Yeah, I agree.
Can I just point out what's been happening in the studio? So,
please.
O just had like an allergy attack and sneezed about 15 times in a row.
I don't know if you heard it. Mulls does a very good job of.
So. Yeah. So Mulls killed the mic, but this is what really is unique about this scenario. O leaves the studio.
Yes.
Like courtesy to us.
But yeah, exactly. So he should have, because he was sneezing 15 times in a row.
I'm having a meltdown. I can't be in here. Your mics are on. You're talking to Ray. But when he comes back, he's got a yogurt parfait. And he's now just eating his parfait.
Unwrapped it like he's watching us talk. Like
where did you go to the calf?
Know. I figured I'm out of it, so I'm out.
He tapped out. He's like, I'm going to join you guys in the next segment.
Yeah.
So
don't take it personally.
Where did you get
Ray?
The yogurt from, though?
It was already here. It was here. It was behind the thing. You never saw it.
Oh, I didn't see it. I thought you, because you left and you came back. And the next time I saw you, you're just.
What do you think? I just wheeled out. I blew my nose in the garbage can and you thought I just went to the calf and got a yogurt parfait?
That's basically what I'm telling you. But that's what I thought happened. Is that crazy to say that may have crossed your mind?
Oh, it's fine, but come on.
All right. Anyway, sorry about that, Ray.
I like the picture.
Yeah, details are important.
I actually want to just climb on the Tampa-Toronto train here a little bit. The one thing I do notice, and this is maybe where Tampa's core being together a little bit longer, Like, I noticed even, I didn't think Tampa had the greatest game last night. And I thought the Leafs did a big part of that because they played well. But Tampa has a lot of little set plays. And getting out of their zone, to me, there was a lot of, it was almost like familiarity. And I think the Leafs have familiarity in pairs. You know, Marner and Tavares have chemistry. You know, Nylander and Matthews certainly have chemistry. We've seen that. But I the one thing I noticed, like, their D always seemed to know where to be is when the forwards had the puck. So I think that comes with experience, and it comes with playing together with a core that's been there, you know, 3 or 4 years. That's the one thing I noticed. Tampa, yeah, they got in trouble because the Leafs pushed, and they ended up with, what was it, 49 shots?
49 shots, yeah, I think, yeah.
But there were times where I thought Tampa wasn't in trouble in critical areas where they were like, oh, little pass here, little support play, and we're out, and we'll just relieve pressure. And I think that comes with just playing together for 3 or 4 years. They're well coached. They know where to be, and it was almost like they were kind of going through the motions in certain areas.
But so how do you break them down? Like, you know, they're not infallible. I'm getting what you're saying, but if I'm Toronto, I would come out of that and say, we're not worse. Like, we can play with these guys. We can. It's not like one of those games where you come out and go, uh-oh, we can't play with them. Like, they can certainly hang with Tampa. Now, I don't know. The game with Carolina I didn't like as much, but I thought they played decently in Carolina. They kicked it up a notch, and Carolina couldn't keep up to them. But these last two games, this is the only thing I take away, is that the last two games, they've played against teams that play a similar style to them, and they're okay. Like, they look good. When they play, when the water gets a little choppy, that's the part they have to be better at. It. In a lot of cases, it doesn't matter in the regular season, they're just too good anyway. But that's to me, has got to be a little bit of their focus here with, you know, the last two-thirds of the season.
Speaking of moral victories, we were mentioning that Edmonton picking up a point in Winnipeg, that would count for sure, because
yeah.
Winnipeg, that's twice they've done that in that building. Remember coming off that European trip?
Yeah, they were down 4-1 in that, and they ended up winning in overtime. Last night they squeaked out a point.
But they were down 3-1.
They were down 3-1, but I'm watching that game. Like, Edmonton played pretty well. Like, Hitch has them playing with structure. They're banged up. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl do their thing. Like, they got supporting cast goals last night. Like, Nurse played 30 minutes, which I don't know.
Puljujarvi scored the tire.
Yeah, I mean, it was a moldy, you know, throw it towards the net, bank it off escape, but they'll take it. But I thought if you're Edmonton, you take a morale victory last night, squeaking a point out. And, you know, they've beaten Calgary 1-0. They beat Colorado 6-4, and now they leave a point on the table. But that's 5 or 6 points against some pretty good teams.
It's funny, but even though we can't touch it or feel it, it's funny what confidence is, right? It's
yeah.
Like, they just... the same guys. I mean, maybe they rearranged the deck chairs a little bit, but man, they just seem capable of so much more. Now, eventually, I think the lineup holes will resurface. Maybe not as big as they had before, but they don't just go away because Hitch is standing back there.
Yeah. No, you're right. But you hope that if you're an Oilers fan, that's where you're thinking, okay, like somebody who's not been producing, like a Puljujarvi or a Lucic or somebody, like Spooner scored last night. Like, that's the guy they were, you know, they need the bottom of their roster to step up. And I think Hitch keeps saying that. I love his, he's quite candid with his media.
Oh, he's always been like media savvy.
Doesn't care anymore.
Yeah. But he's always been willing to pick up the phone and call in and talk.
Yeah, I'm 66 years old. I'll talk about hockey. I'll tell you how I think. And, you know, I think it's refreshing. But he's like, yeah, our D don't play, you know, we're too spread apart. Our D, you know, I want them between the dots. I need more offense from my D. And he doesn't name names, but you know he's pointing at certain guys. And it's I think it's quite refreshing. I mean, you know, Babs's comments today were a lot different today than they were yesterday. He said after watching the game with no emotion, He said, I thought we did a good job last night. And, you know, he didn't really... He defended the goat and them being on the ice. He said, if you look, take a look, it was the defenseman, it was Dermott that got caught up in the play.
Well, it was his decision. Of course he's going to defend
right. But that's, you know... Because there were a few people that asked about the fourth line being on the ice at that time.
But there's 30 seconds left in the period. Why, you got an 18-minute intermission.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that for me is not the right time to have them on the ice. On the, at home, fine. If the visitors put out their fourth line or a line you're comfortable with, great. But John Cooper takes a beat and says, oh, yeah, Kucherov, out you go.
Yeah.
And so instantly you're in a mismatch. So he's talking about the fourth line. How about his third defense pair was on the ice?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's exposed. Is, you know, it's like that Dermott pitched up the ice. Right, the third defense pair shouldn't have been on the ice. In the last minute of the period, to give yourself the best chance, you've got to see, especially since you, the reason there was a whistle is the puck was in your net. Like, you need to nurse that home to get to the third period down to.
Yeah.
Well, Leafs-Panthers tomorrow night. The rich history on hockey night. It's going to be outstanding tomorrow night.
I'm just so mad.
Wow, there'll be 45 people in the building, and it's Saturday night.
You know what they should do? When they announce the attendance, they should list them by name.
Yes. And where they're from. I'll bet you
have
the building.
A good crowd there tomorrow.
I think it'll
Torontonians
be. And it's
or
Christmas.
Northern people, Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas. I think
it'll
be a big crowd.
There'll be a loaded Leaf crowd down
there.
Yeah, it
will be.
Mark my words.
Yeah, it'll be a big crowd, but it'll be Leaf heavy. The only thing that I continue to think of, we'll have to talk about this, you know, next week or whatever, but I constantly think about escrow. Like, you watch some of these buildings, and, you know, escrow got increased the other day to, what, 13.5 from 11.5? Like, there's, like, the guys, like, this is something behind the scenes, and nobody's going to feel sorry for them, but, like, you're signing a contract. Willie Nylander just signed for $7 million. He's not getting $7 million because...
They're taking money away.
You're going to haircut that 13% before you even put that in your pocket because it's...
I can't think of one thing I want to talk about less than on this show than escrow.
Don't worry about it, buddy. It's coming.
It's
coming. During the lockout, we're going to talk about it every day.
My next personal day, you can talk about escrow.
All right. There you go, Ray.
Why don't we talk about your yogurt then?
It's almost gone.
It's almost gone.
Two more bites, Ray.
Yeah. It's
cool. And did we determine we are sure there's 50 states?
52, buds. Fergie confirmed it.
No, it's 50.
50. It was quite riveting right after we let you go yesterday. We detailed. We got through about 42 and then just panicked.
Now, apparently Washington doesn't have a state, Ray. D.C., they're their own thing.
It's not a state. No. D.C. Yeah. is not a state.
Well, I think it is.
The beauty of sarcasm is that it can go over the heads of some people because we're talking about the provinces, and you and I, Ray, were both like, yeah, there's 14 provinces, obviously knowing that there's not. And some guy sent in this big email. He's like, I thought that was embarrassing that two hosts would suggest that there was 14 provinces. I'm like, come on, people.
This is where you need the middle finger emoji and press reply all. Like,
please.
But it's ridiculous. Like, we're having some fun.
Yes.
We need a context button.
That's right. All right, Ray.
Have a great weekend, boys. We'll talk to you Monday.
You got it. There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline.